Okay, we'll call the meeting to order, and welcome to all who came here this evening. There's some more seats in the front here. So, we're going to start off today with the agenda modifications. Are there any modifications to the agenda this evening? All right, then I would look for a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The agenda is approved. And we have a presentation at this time. Dr. House.
Board members, if you recall that beginning with this school year, Mr. Sanger wished to honor the Students of the Month at the regularly scheduled board meetings. So this evening we'll be doing that again. It is my pleasure to introduce Mr. Sanger, who will introduce our Students of the Month.
Thank you, Dr. Hollister, and members of the school board. The month of October, our Spartan Way characteristic and trait was that of integrity. And the two students that I'm going to introduce tonight, I would say, epitomize integrity and are the quiet leaders within our school. I'm first going to introduce the female Student of the Month, who is Ms. Linnea Bleacher. Linnea, if you would please come forward. Dr. Hollister has a certificate for you and a medal. Linnea is the daughter of Mr. Peter and Mary Bleacher, and she resides in Narbonne. Congratulations to Linnea. Thank you, Linnea. And our male Student of the Month is Mr. Tyler Clisham, and he is the son of Mr. Bill and Mrs. Amy Clisham, and they reside in New Holland, Pennsylvania. Congratulations, Tyler. Thank you again for your support as we continue to promote the Spartan Way. Thank you.
If I could have a word just to the students and to their families, thank you for all the hard work that you do to improve yourself. You clearly have grasped and understand what your purpose is here in school. And I want to comment and thank the families, because I know it's not just always an individual student effort. Moms and dads and families have a lot to do with that as well. And so, while the honor is for your child, as a parent, I understand that there's a lot of pride there, too. To the students, I will say one final thing. Because of this small award, among many that you'll probably receive, you also bear an extra responsibility. Because you've been highlighted, you're now an ambassador for our school district. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you need to understand that you carry the Elanco label with you. So, I know I'm giving that in trusted hands, and I want to say thank you in advance for what you'll do for the school district as you go about your work and your careers. Thank you very much, and congratulations, and good luck.
Okay. At this point, then, we have this evening time set aside for citizens' comments, and we do ask that anybody who is a resident of the school district wishes to have any comments regarding the anything on the agenda or anything under the board's jurisdiction, that if you would identify yourself in the township or borough which you live. If we have more than one person, or if we have anybody, we would take names first and then call you up in the order. So were there anybody who wanted to speak this evening? In the back.
Chuck Troop, Old Township.
Chuck Troop. Yes.
Phil Walk in Armour.
I'm sorry, first name?
Phil.
Oh, Phil. Okay, thank you.
Chris Coblenz, Kerry Hill.
Okay. And
Rosie Kirch, Kerry Hill.
Rosie, thank you.
Amelia Collins, Earl Township.
Okay. Yep.
Neil Martin, Holland Borough.
Okay. Any others? Okay, I think we had Mr. Troop was first. Correct. If you would please step up the microphone, because we do record this meeting.
I'd like to address your decision last month to not have public prayer anymore, and I'd like to say that I think that was the right decision. I hated to see it having to be made, but in light of the court rulings, that was a decision you probably had to make. I would like to address that court ruling and the potential lawsuit that was forced you to make the decision. The beliefs, ideals, convictions, and dreams of our founding fathers had for our country have been turned on their heads. Too many times we are forced to make decisions such as this one at the demand of a very small minority, which at times like this one is only one or two people. This board, not too many years ago, included prayer as an agenda item during their meeting. Because of one individual threatening to contact the ACLU, prayer was moved out of the agenda to taking place before the meeting was called to order. And now, according to the article in the paper, the Freedom From Religion Foundation received a complaint from Ann Elanco, resident and taxpayer. Again, it looks like one person is affecting a community accepted practice that has gone on for many years. The paper says the Freedom From Religion Foundation group has 18,000 members across the nation. There are almost twice that many people living in our own school district. The paper said this group has 600 members in Pennsylvania. We could easily sit the entire Pennsylvania membership in our auditorium. This is another example of the tail wagging the dog. This is an extremely small and close-minded group telling a nation of 300 million people what they can and cannot do. The Freedom From Religion Foundation is wrong in so many ways, the first being their name, Freedom From Religion. The First Amendment of our Constitution says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, not therefrom. Our Constitution continues to say, or abridging the freedom of speech, which this group is also trying to control. The Freedom From Religion Foundation also contends that a cross in front of a fire hall erected to honor soldiers killed in World War I violates the constitutional separation of church and state. The term separation of church and state is found nowhere in our Constitution. Let me read a quote to you taken out of the brochure, which I gave each one of you tonight, called America, God Shed His Grace on Thee, written by David Barton. Today's well-known phrase, separation of church and state, appears in no part of the Constitution. Furthermore, the discussion of the 90 founding fathers who framed the First Amendment, which the courts now tell us means separation of church and state, are recorded in the Congressional Journal from June 7th to September 25th, 1789. Interestingly, not once in those months of discussion did one of the founders ever mention that phrase. Doesn't it seem logical that if they had intended today's doctrine of separation of church and state, that at least one of those 90 would have mentioned it? End quote. Going back to the issue of prayer by government institutions, the inclusion of a prayer before the opening of each session of both the U.S. House and U.S. Senate traces its origins back to the days of the Continental Congress and the official recommendation of Benjamin Franklin on June 28, 1787. And I quote Mr. Franklin, "I have lived long, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this building, in this political building, no better than the builders of Babel. I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings in our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business, and that one or more of the clergy of this city be requested to officiate in that service," end quote. This practice continues to this day in the U.S. House and Senate. And if it continues there, why can it not continue here at the Elanco School Board meetings? I would encourage the board to invite a local clergy, as Mr. Franklin recommended, to have a prayer at each of our board meetings. John Adams said, "The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity." Thomas Jefferson, "Can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are the gift of God, that they are not to be violated but with his wrath. Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that is justice cannot sleep forever. And Benjamin Rush, the first founding father to call for free national public schools. Let the children be carefully instructed in the principles and obligations of the Christian religion. This is the most essential part of the education. The great enemy of the salvation of man, in my opinion, never invented a more effectual means of removing Christianity from the world than by persuading mankind that it was proper to read the Bible at schools. Please join me in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this evening. I thank you for this group of men that you brought together over 200 years ago with the wisdom to know how important it was to include freedom of religion and freedom of speech in our Constitution. I pray, Lord, that the courts would start ruling in line with our Constitution instead of making up their own rules. Dear Lord, I ask your blessing upon this board tonight, that you will guide them in the decisions they need to make. I ask your blessing upon our administration as they guide our children and bless our teachers too, and decisions that they make when they're working with each of our children. I thank you, Lord, for the freedoms that we do have. I also pray for those people who are working to take these freedoms away. I pray that you would bless them. I pray that they would see the importance of prayer and the change that has in people's lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And next is Mrs. Reimers.
Good evening. I'm not tall enough for this. It's going to fall out. I really never believed I'd be on this side of this mic. But you know what? It's a lot cooler on this side than that side.
It's going to help you out.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Okay. Well, I just wanted to come. I'm not here like some of the other people that I had to sit over there and face. I'm not angry with you, but I only come to support and encourage you. I think what you do here, you do a wonderful job. And I just want to say that I had three wonderful children that grew up in this school district. And as a young mom at home with her children, I want to say what a great comfort it was to me that I knew that this group of nine people was praying before their school board meeting, and that they found that it was important to seek God's will in their decisions. And that meant a great deal to me then, and it gave me a great deal of respect for the men and women that sat in your positions. So when I was asked to be on the board, the first thing I thought of is that I wanted to protect everything that's going on in the school district, including the right to practice our religion freely, which we do we've always allowed that within these walls. And I really appreciate that. And so I wanted to come to you and tell you that I totally understand, like Chuck. And by the way, Chuck, that was great. I totally understand why you made the decision you made. I would have made the same decision if I was sitting in your seat. You cannot use taxpayer dollars that are meant for education to fight a legal battle. And I am totally in support of that. But I think that it's a sad time when in our country, one person from our school district can make a contact to a group in Wisconsin and destroy everything that I felt dear to this school district. I mean, just collapse everything that we hold dear as a community here. That's the way I should put it. And I personally found it comforting that the school board was praying. I know that there's many of you that pray individually anyways, and I really am grateful for that. But it sets a wonderful example to our students that you have the courage to stand up and seek God's will before you make your decisions. It's what an outstanding example that is to our students. So whereas I know that you cannot use taxpayer money, I know if you have not already received a letter, you probably will be soon, because one of the dear ladies that I know, along with her pastor, has composed a letter to each and every one of you about a group that will fight this battle for you for free. if you are really willing to pursue that, and if you truly value that same heritage that we have in this community. So I want to thank you for all you're doing, and I hope that you look at that letter seriously, because it really does instill a lot of trust in the community to know that you are seeking God's will. And I think that that has made our district what it is. It's made our district strong, and we can come here with confidence knowing that the administrators are put there by God's hand because we've been seeking his guidance. And I just truly believe that if it's at all possible that we do continue. And Chuck thought it'd be even another way that is great too, even to have a clergy come in and pray for you, just like they do in Congress. So thank you very much for your time. Thank you for all you do, and I do appreciate every one of you. Thank you.
Okay, Phil.
I'm Phil Walk, WALCK. Mr. President, members of the board, Ms. Dr. Hollister, I am here as because at our congregation yesterday, there were many people dismayed by the reports that came through the newspaper. And we, too, want you to know that we are supporting and praying for you. And I just I'm appreciative of Chuck's eloquent statement. And I would say I'll put my name at the bottom of that. That would be great. And I would support you in any way that you can if you do decide or need somebody or want somebody to offer prayer. Prayer is not just a ritual. This prayer is a communication. It's a dynamic God that lives and answers prayer. So it's not just a rite or a ritual or a tradition. It's actually something that helps us understand and get wisdom and make decisions that are wise. So it would be prudent if we could pursue some sort of avenue to continue that prayer. Thank you very much.
And thank you, Mr. Walk. Mr. Cobins?
I believe his name is Chuck. He did a pretty good job of covering it. I was going to say a prayer for the group. As a tax-paying resident, I have as much right to do that as the person who complained. And I think as a group, if as a community, we should have somebody here at every meeting to at this time do it, because they can maybe be able to dictate to you as a group, but as free citizens and taxpayers of this district, what equals 6/1,000ths of 1% of the population of this country cannot control each of us. I think you guys do a good job. Thankless job. I've been on the end of probably yelling at you from time to time, but overall, you guys do a great job. I appreciate what you do. And I will defer my time to Chuck's prayer so that I don't take up your whole, you guys want to get home too, I don't want to take up your whole meeting saying prayer after prayer. But I just appreciate it, and thank you guys.
Thank you. I'm sorry, your name again?
My name is Amelia Collins, excuse me, and I reside in Earl Township. And have, you know, been a member of the community for lots of years, and was real distressed when we heard of the recent article in the paper. So I thank you all for your consideration. We don't need to be wasting taxpayer money for a lawsuit. However, it seems like as a group, we want that. We want to hear the Lord's prayer. We want to be able to go to a higher presence, and our children need it. Actually, it's very distressing. And I'm going to say a short little prayer. Heavenly Father, please join me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to come before this school board and for the people in our community who have been encouraging and coming along to say we want to be able to say a prayer to you. Our children need it. Our communities need it. Our nation needs it. Please allow your Holy Spirit to descend upon each one of us here, each one of our students, each one of the teachers, and let them feel your presence. We pray for the folks who are fighting this, and I ask in your holy name for your guidance, your grace, and your mercy. Thank you.
Thank you. Mrs. Hirsch.
Greetings, school board, every one of you, and administration, and audience behind me. It's been handed down, like Chuck said, he did so great. For decades, our forefathers wanted freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God, to the end of, to Revelations, where it's, even so, Lord Jesus, come, I believe every word of that. And you'd hate, I'd hate if that wouldn't be in my life. You'd hate it too, because I wouldn't be a nice person. I know that. God's word, our Bible, I believe, every word of it, inspired us to, it tells us how to live while we're here on earth. Along with that comes prayer. I've seen and witnessed so many answers to prayer, and so have you. And we need God's Holy Spirit, his guidance in us. That's just the way it is. It's another thing. It's a sign of the times, the end times. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Thank you.
Yes, Neil Martin. First of all, I want to start out by just thanking you all as a board for what you do month in and month out, probably day in and day out for our school district and our students, and the same to our administration. Thank you for your service to our community. And I, too, wanted to comment on the removal of prayer. Stand behind you all in your decision, but I'm, too, a bit disappointed. So I would like to say a prayer as well. Father God, I thank you for the school board, and I pray your wisdom and your guidance on them tonight as they make decisions, and not only tonight, but every time they meet, and not only these particular individuals, but every time this board meets from now on. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, thank you, and I think that was it, unless there was there anybody else?
Can I just make one more comment? I would just like the people from Freedom from Religion to realize that they've caused a whole meeting to be dedicated to prayer.
All right, yes, thank you. I do believe we did not have a special presentation. Is that correct? Okay. Then we will have the consent agenda. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Before we move on, I would just like to make some comments.
I'm sorry, yes.
I greatly appreciate the feedback from everyone. There are months, several in a row, where no one comes to our meetings, and sometimes I know that it's not very exciting stuff. But I just appreciate the community feedback, the participation of the community, the support that we have from the community. And I see this as an opportunity for the community. community to participate in our school district further, in the sense that if it is your wishes to find a representative each month within the community, and you can express yourself as you see fit at the community expression time. And so I would encourage you to make that opportunity available to all of your friends and show your support.
Thank you. Yes, and I apologize. I should have asked. Were there any other board members that wanted to have any comments?
I just want to say, you know, I've been in the board quite a few years, and this is one of the most supportive things that the community has come out to be behind the board. And I agree with what Glenn said, that if somehow one of you could take the lead and maybe help organize to have this happen in a monthly, that divide the months up during the year, that would be greatly appreciated.
I just wanted to kind of on a personal say that this whole everything that has transpired in the last couple months has hit me pretty hard and made me question, did I even want to be on this board where, you know, we couldn't just ask for help? It's not like we were trying to indoctrinate anybody or do anything. I really appreciate you all coming tonight.
Any others? I just want to say, yes, it is nice to have sometimes when we have a room full of people, it's not always supportive, but it is great to have you all come out tonight. And you're welcome to stay, and the rest of the meeting shouldn't be real long here. But on the consent agenda, do we have a motion to approve? Paul, and is there a second? Rodney? Any other discussion on the consent agenda?
Just one comment, Mr. President, before we approve. We do have in the consent agenda the approval of the personnel report, and we have a teacher here who will be starting with us shortly, and I will allow Dr. Larkin to introduce that person. Oh, she's still here, right? Yeah, okay.
Good evening. I'm Kara Martin, Supervisor of Special Education in the district, and it's my pleasure to introduce Catherine Warren, otherwise known as Kate. Kate is rejoining us. We've had the pleasure of having Kate with us through the Millersville University Professional Development School a year ago, where she completed her junior block and student teaching with us through that partnership. And we are blessed to have her join our teaching team here at Elanco at New Holland Elementary and Elementary Emotional Support, replacing the resignation that we recently received.
Thank you, Kara. Yeah. Kate, welcome.
And you're welcome to, if you had anything to say or not, too.
I would just like to say thank you, and I'm very excited. I'm definitely excited to come back to this district.
Great. Welcome to the board.
Thanks, Kate. Thank you, Mr. President. Yes.
Any other comments on the agenda? And all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The agenda passes. We have the, there were no items removed, so the Lancaster County Tax Collection Bureau, Mr. Ramsey.
Thank you, Mr. President. We did have a meeting this past week. And as you can see on the board is some notes from our meeting. As I said, we did meet last Wednesday, November 14th. The 2013 operating budget was approved. As I mentioned previously, it continues to reflect the efficiencies that the Tax Bureau is striving for with a decrease of 2.7% over last year's budget. In addition, they're looking at decreasing the collection fee that they charge from 2.5% for every dollar collected to 2.35%, which again reflects their continued efficiencies. They are In fact, the fee could have been a little bit less, but they didn't want to drop it too far, so we didn't go down and come back up. But they feel that continual efficiencies will continue to drive that down. On the non-filers, they sent out 40,000 letters to those that did not file taxes for 2009-2010 tax year. This was based on the PA Department of Revenue filing, and what they're finding is that data is starting to get less and less accurate. As they've said, a lot of people in the state do not know where they live, in which school district, so again, that's getting more and more difficult. We did cancel our December 12th meeting because we did adopt the budget at last Wednesday's meeting. If there's no questions, that ends my report.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Rand? Then moving on to Lancaster 11 and IU 13, Mr. Irwin.
The Lancaster 11 and IU 13 met on November 14th. We approved four business service contracts, one early childhood and special education service contract, a new contract, seven instructional service contracts, three technology service contracts, and six human resource service contracts, one of them being we approved a contract with PSBA to help conduct the search for the new IU executive director. We had a second reading and approval of three board policies. We had a first reading of 20 board policies. We accepted five resignations. We had 14 new hires. We had 12 change of positions and status of salary, and approved one leave of absence. The one item I want to highlight is on November 28th, there will be a district negotiation meeting at IU 13 in Lebanon, and that is open to district administrators and school board members. It is RSVP, as they will be serving a meal, and you could contact me or the board secretary, or the administration can take care of themselves by getting hold of Flip Steinhauer if you wish to go. And I do have a handout that I've handed out to the administrators and each board member for helping districts help students. If there are no questions, that ends my report.
Yes.
November 28th at 6 p.m. And it comes at a good time because the IU is in the midst of three contract negotiations, so we're really, if you have questions, I think we'll have an answer for you.
Mr. Ramsey and I are attending that meeting.
Excellent.
There'll be another one probably about 2 months later. It'll be here in Lancaster. So if you don't want to travel to Lebanon, it won't change a whole lot in 2 months. You're welcome to wait till it comes back home. But Keith and I will be there.
All right. Thanks. Any other questions for the IU 13? All right. The Lancaster CTC, Mrs. Redmond.
The Joint Operating Committee met on October 25th. We had a presentation done by some of the instructors, Corey Andrew, James Stewart, and Dan McCauley. It was a presentation about recruitment and enrollment at the CTCs. The presentation started out by talking about that there are many what are called middle jobs available in today's job market. And middle jobs are jobs that require some post-secondary education, but not a full bachelor's degree. And there are great opportunities for training for these kinds of jobs at our CTCs. They talked about how they're working at the CTCs at Willow Street, at Brownstown, at Mount Joy campuses, when they do their tours to prospective students. Classes go there for tours, and they invite students in, that they're really trying to fit those tours and those opportunities to see the programs more to the current clientele. We've had the baby boomers, we've had Generation X, millennials is the newest group of students that they're trying to focus on. The tours that they're doing are really being called showcases and are being set up that way. One of the most exciting things that they had to say was that current students in the program are the ones who are actually leading in showcasing the programs. That they've taken an active role. They're doing, the current students are showcasing the programs. And they've really looked at what's going to meet those clients' needs. Their written descriptions have been changed a bit so that they're meant to be read quickly, basically with four action points for the prospective students. What will the student experience in this program? What are the course outcomes? Really, what's the bottom line? What's in it for me? And then finally, the career focus. Where does this take me? If I'm participating in this program, where is it going to lead me? And they've had some real excitement about it. So I want to kind of, it was a very lively presentation. These instructors were really excited about what they get to do every day. So I'm going to bring that excitement back to us. There are wonderful things going on at our career and technology centers. They have wonderful programs and programs that feed into some college credit opportunities with Harrisburg Area Community College. There are some programs that allow you to test in certain at certain skills in certain areas of job areas. So it's really a wonderful program. So it was a very exciting presentation, and some great things are going on there. Some other news: the Willow Street construction, the renovations at the Willow Street campus. Their construction schedule, the designs are hoping they're ready to go to bid by February, and then the project is going to be scheduled to start the first day after the last day of school. That's when they want to start the project. Some student news again: the student project Green Home Number 3. They build these homes. Is almost complete, and they're ready to put it on the market. They're hoping for a $325,000 selling price as they put the home on the market. So that's exciting. The Career and Technology Centers as a whole are starting a marketing program for the centers to do a branding and recruitment kind of blitz. They have engaged a professional agency, TGC is the name of the agency, and it was approved that they're going to spend up to $50,000 with funds coming from the adult education funding and from the general fund, because it will affect all the students that attend the CTC. The idea is to do a two-month blitz through November and December to really put the word out there of what good stuff is going on at the Career Technology Centers, to really make all of the advertising, all of the information kind of the same across the board, so that, and we saw some samples, but I don't have anything concrete, but I'll say, so that every poster that goes out is the same shade of orange, so that you can easily identify, that's talking about the Career and Technology Centers, so that it will be a unified kind of marketing program. And there'll be more to the plan in December and January as it gets rolling and gets unfolded. So I'll have some updates about that as time goes on. And then one more announcement. Tom Bigler, who is his technical title, business manager, is that his technical title? Tom Bigler is retiring at the end of this school year. And he's been there at the CTC for 34 years, I believe. But he will be retiring. Good news for him, but we'll kind of leave a gaping hole at the CTC. Any questions or comments?
Just to comment a little bit on the advertising piece. Probably if you listen to the radio, you'll hear those commercials for LCTC. You'll also see some large bulletin boards going up. They have some really cool stuff that they're rolling out. And what Melissa, Mrs. Redmond didn't say was their attendance numbers are up. So they're doing some. They really are doing some quality things. It's not the same old VoTech that many of us are familiar with. I know Deb Reimers is really thrilled to hear that good news as a champion of the CTC for many years. So
It really is something. If you have children, if you have grandchildren, you have family members, it is a viable option for a career choice.
Any other questions or comments? I know from personal, my daughter's doing a part-day course there, and she's having a really good experience. So it is, it's really, really good. Legislative, Mr. Wentz.
Yes, of course, the election is coming on at the state level in the House. The House still is controlled by the Republicans, a slightly smaller number. In the Senate, it's a significant decrease in a sense. It went from 30 Republicans to 20 and 20 Democrats to 27 Republicans and 27 Republicans and 23 Democrats. A big decision will be facing our governor by early December, with the election of President Obama that seals the Affordable Care Act, or the Obamacare, however you want to rephrase it. I asked Mr. Ramsey to give his insight in how it might affect our school district going forward in the next few years.
Thank you, Mr. Wentzel. As you know, and I've reported on this during our budget times last year and coming up this year, many things happened already with the Obamacare, which is the dependents up to age 26, no lifetime max, the preventive care at no copay, a lot of those things that are definitely things that the public want and are happy with. We've already implemented those in our plan. The next big hurdle is 2014, where anyone that works 30 hours or more must be considered full-time and offered health care. We have already have reduced our part-time staff under 30, so we don't have to be concerned with that. But the next big one that we'll be talking about is the 2018, what they call the Cadillac tax, where they take a look at a certain amount, dollar value for single and family coverage over a certain amount. Employers, since we're self-insured, district would be taxed at 40% of that amount over and above. So as we go into negotiations, we'll definitely be mindful of that and looking towards that. So,
thank you. The other consequence of the election is, of course, in 2 years, Governor Corbett will be eligible for, he decides to run again to for re-election. And with the tightening in the Senate and with Attorney General Kane and Auditor General Pasquale, I should say his name, that, as I said in the morning paper today, that they're going to be holding Governor Corbett's feet to the fire on different issues. And this is my personal opinion, I wouldn't be surprised if one of these two considers running for governor in 2 years. But more importantly, and I don't always place value in the polls, of course, we got polled to death here the last couple months. But Governor Corbett's poll numbers aren't the best at this time, so he has 2 years to resurrect himself, so to speak, and to do some things. And probably the biggest things he'll have to do, and I think this board would agree, he has to mend his own fences among Republicans in Harrisburg. And they're looking for more leadership from the governor's office, and it definitely will, he will have to do a better job in the next year or so, and that will, could lay the groundwork for his reelection if he decides to go that way. You want to say something about it? Oh,
I was just going to ask a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Will there be any movement in 2013 on cyber charter?
I haven't seen any come across my updates in legislation. I don't know if the administration has heard any.
But that depends. There's a will by the governor to do more for cyber and charter schools. Whether he can get anything done is a mystery. He's really been unsuccessful getting his biggest platform pieces moved. For lots of reasons. I think the other thing that's going to be number one on the governor's list, and it should be, is the PISR system for all state employees. That is a colossal anchor on the backs of Pennsylvania folks. So I'm hoping he can get something done.
not so much for the cyber and charter. I thought it was an excellent series in the paper this past week that really sort of pulled the cover back on what cyber charter schools are and how poorly they're performing and how much they cost. So I don't think that's going to be a battle he tries as hard in the next session as the Peasers. The Peasers piece needs to get fixed, for sure.
My question was more in reference to the reimbursement, how much we have to reimburse.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see any reimbursement dollars back. We used to get 23% 2 or 3 years ago before the financial crisis and the wave washed over us. That went to zero, and I don't expect us to get any of that back.
At this point, it's not. There is a flat amount, which they're looking out to 2018. So at this point, that amount that's out there has not been indexed. At this point, it's just a flat amount. And most, if not all, employers are going to be hitting that amount.
Can I just ask a question in defense of a lot of the teaching aides who we have cut to 29 hours, and I totally am fiscally behind that. I feel really bad for some of them who don't have coverage under their spouses or whatever, and I'm just hoping that there's maybe some way we can compensate them in their hourly rate when they have to buy from the exchanges, either federal or state, whatever's available. I'm just putting that on the record. Sorry, Chuck.
I guess I would look for a little more direction there. Dr. Zimmerman, do you wish to see a budget item to cover
well,
that?
I'm just, you know, when it comes time to set their hourly rate, because that's how we pay them, correctly?
That's correct.
When they have to go out and purchase the exchange, because they're not going to qualify for our school plan,
correct,
because they make or they work less than 30 hours a week. I would like it if there's a way we could maybe help them a little bit as a part-time employee when they have to go out and purchase their own insurance through an exchange. And obviously, we are not going to be able to afford to pay for their policy or we put them on our plan. But if we can just keep that in mind when we look at their hourly rate, that some of them are going to need to be buying insurance, which I don't care if President Obama thinks it's going to lower the cost of health care. I think if you're the one going out and buying it, it's expensive. And I think for some people it really makes a difference. You know, if they're covered under their spouse's plan, they don't really care. But, you know, some people are single and don't have somebody else's plan they can tack on to. And I know a lot of the aides, I think probably there's a lot, especially in the special ed department, who... And we've prided ourselves on having an excellent special ed division, which I think we do. I mean, I'm really proud of, you know, all of you guys who are in the special ed department. But I think we need to think about taking care of our aides who work really hard, and they don't get paid a lot. I think we just have to keep that in mind when we go to budgeting for what we pay them hourly when they need to go buy insurance.
Thank you.
And one final thought, looking forward to 2013, it will be a municipal election year, which means that we'll be electing county officials, judges, countywide and statewide, but also township, borough, and also school directors will be eligible for elections. So thoughts for the community to keep in mind and for the board to keep in mind. I'm not up next year, so I don't have to worry about it. And that concludes my report.
And, thank you. Any other comments on legislative issues? All right. Next slide. Superintendent's report.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a number of items. I'll just pick up from Mr. Wenzel's report. And just as a side note, there is a growing swell for a vote of no confidence for the Secretary of Education here in the Commonwealth. Several school districts have taken formal action as a no-confidence vote. I will have more on that. The
professional organization in the state, PASA, is taking a slightly different turn there. They're forming some talking points, and I'll share that with you when I get that from them. But just know that there is extreme dissatisfaction across the Commonwealth in what's happening in PDD. A couple of items closer to home. As everyone by now probably knows, we lost a student last week to an illness. I want to talk a little bit briefly about what the school district's response was and the support that we received from the county. About 120 students took advantage of what we call a safe room at Blue Ball Elementary School. Students were afforded the opportunity to go to the room anytime they felt compelled to seek a little bit of help in processing and dealing with the death of a second grade student. We were fortunate. We are a part of the countywide flight team. That team is on standby at all times. We are members. We provide counseling support to school districts as well as receive it. For example, earlier, first day of school, in fact, the Solanco School District had a death to a gunshot. The very first day of school, we sent a counselor down to Solanco to help Solanco. And so it is a quid pro quo association relationship. We had four counselors here to help us on the first day that the tragedy was reported to students, and they helped with the processing 120 kids. We also had a room set aside for faculty. There were some faculty members who also had difficulty, as you can imagine, processing that news. I want to compliment the Blue Ball staff and express my thanks to the flight team members who assisted with that. Also, the staff that worked 24/7 or nearly 24/7, getting all that ready, getting it ready on the weekends, late at night, the first night, and then again on the second day. So a terrible loss to our community, a terrible loss to a family I cannot imagine. Once again, this community does pull together at all times, but particularly in times of tragedy. So that's the report that I have on that situation. Any questions about how that works for us or here in the school district? Item number two, we did have a case of the whooping cough at Brecknock. We're required by law to send out letters, two different versions of a letter. The letter has to go out to the class where the student was diagnosed. That's one version of the letter. And then another letter needs to go out to the remaining student body at Brecknock. All of that was handled by Dr. Larkin on Friday. Typically with these, you get very little notice and have to respond fast. So her department made that happen and got that information out in a timely manner on Friday afternoon. So thank you to her and her staff for taking care of that.
Can I just put in a plug to the community since we have so many of them here? One of the reasons whooping cough is outbreaking in Lancaster and in this area is because adults' immunity is waning from our initial DPT shots that we had as kids. So next time you're in to see your family doctor, ask them if you're due for a tetanus shot, if you can have the tetanus shot that also includes whooping cough. It's a one-time booster thing. It's not that big a deal. Everybody should be up to date on their shots anyway. But you can kind of help with what goes on in school, because if we're all immunized properly, we don't spread it to children.
It's nice to have a physician on the board. Thank you, Dr. Simpson. The third item I have are some two calendar items. Just a reminder to all, especially community, we have a reorganization meeting we're required by law to have. What's typically our second meeting of the month, we're required to have it in the first week of December. It's when officers are reelected for the board. So our next meeting will be December 3rd, not December 10th, as most folks would expect. So December 3rd is our next meeting. Also related to calendar, thanks to Hurricane Sandy, the February 18th President's Day holiday, that's a Monday, is no longer, so you'll need to shorten your ski trips. We need to make that day up, and we'll have an additional day at the end of the school year. We missed 2 days of school because of the hurricane. Next item I have is just an information item, again, community pulling together. Once again, faculty members, administrators, support staff members from the school district will be adopting over 100 families for Christmas this year, and that number continues to grow. I know Meredith Thaw at Cross Connections picks up some families as well for us, especially the ones who sort of turn in stuff late. As a side comment, you need to know that I saw one of the sheets that a student submitted her Christmas request for. It's not the stuff we're all asking for Christmas. The top of her list was a box of tampons. So when we're out complaining or lamenting the fact that maybe we can only go out to dinner once a week or we're only getting steak once a week, I think we should count our blessings. There are a lot of poor children and poor families in this community. Our free and reduced lunch rate now is over 33%. 1 in 3 kids are living in poverty, according to federal guidelines. So I know this community gives, but I also know that I myself need that reminder, and I got one when I looked at that sheet. And I think it's just worth it. So, last thing I have is some really good news. Again, as I talked to the students earlier about being ambassadors for their school district, one of our coaches was recently, and I apologize ahead of time, I'm going to read an email because it's written so well, I'm not going to do any better. So I do apologize for reading. This is in reference to a cross-country meet that took place last month. On Tuesday at the LL meet in Effort, our girls edged out Garden Spot by only 7 points. Our girls. One of my runners missed the last flag, shaving about 2 meters off of the course. The infraction was not witnessed by an official, and though we were honest and told the official that our runner missed the flag, they were unable to disqualify her, having not seen it themselves. Now, Paul Harvey's rest of the story, if you will. Coach Watkins was the first person to congratulate us and made no indication that he had any hard feelings about the runner missing the flag, actually encouraging me to relax and not to worry about the error, but rather to enjoy the championship. His character showed in these moments. I sent an email to my parents, providing them with ideas as to the type of person that Coach Watkins is, and how lucky GS is to have him. He is the type of person that I would want my son to run for in the future, and I believe this prior to the meet on Tuesday. And that came from the coach at Hempfield High School. Compliments to Coach Watkins for representing our school district extremely well. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Dr. Hollister. Were there any other comments on the superintendent's report?
Yes, Dr. Hollister, I was wondering if you could elaborate a little further on the no confidence vote, as in, are we interested in getting on that bandwagon?
Perhaps. You know, I've been a little frustrated. There's a lot to that decision. I happened to be at the PASA Board of Governors last week as one of my responsibilities for Lancaster Lebanon IU. This question came up. And there was a long, and I would say a rich debate over the pros and cons of calling out the secretary. At the end, it was decided that there's some inside baseball and there's some public baseball, I guess I should say. I got to be careful at this point. The belief would be you would only be replacing one for another. You would go find another with just a different name. Really, what needs to happen is the General Assembly needs to know what has been mishandled in PDE, and therefore the State Board of School Administrators, Superintendents, is going to put together a talking points that can be shared with legislators, with community members, with others who have a vested interest, rather than go directly after the secretary knowing that it could just be a change of players. I'm not sure that serves anyone. It could. But more importantly is the General Assembly, the House and Senate members, need to understand some of the quick-handedness that's been taking place that has, in my opinion, hurt students and hurt school districts. So when I have those talking points from PASA, we'll present this as an idea. At this point, I'm not prepared to make that recommendation. Of course, what you do on your own is what you do on your own. You guys do that anyway, so go ahead.
Any other?
Is that clear enough, Glenn? I think the thing is to wait just a little bit until we hear from PASA.
Mr. Jones?
I don't have a comment about that, but I just wanted to, since we have a good community turnout, remind everyone December 18th for the Christmas show. I understand there's a fabulous light and laser show attached to it, so December 18th, get your tickets.
There's a lot of good programs here with between the music department. I was at the play last week. They did a great job. And anytime you get a chance to come out, these students really work hard and do a really fabulous job. So, any other comments? Yes.
I just wanted to address the audience, the residents at the close of the meeting here, and express my personal appreciation to each and every one of you that came out. Your comments are a great encouragement to me personally, and even your presence here at the meeting tonight just speaks volumes. So thank you for giving time out of your Monday evening to express yourself, and we did hear you. Thank you.
Any others? Okay, and just wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving this week. Holiday season. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved. Second.
Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.